Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Tuesday. Brian Gutekunst has met with the assembled media here in Indianapolis at the NFL Scouting Combine, and we're going to talk about it. Not a whole lot talked about, but obviously Brian was asked about a plethora of things regarding the roster, the team heading into an offseason where the urgency, as he spoke about at the end of the season, needs to be ramped up, get back to competing for championships. He was peppered with plenty of questions regarding not only that statement, but potential moves to get them to that plateau. And, you know, I think a lot of the things that we've heard throughout this offseason already here in the content creation space, as far as the fate of Jaire Alexander, Keyshawn Nixon returning kicks, what they need to do about a number one wide receiver, all these things were talked about, but he didn't really say anything, I don't think, too surprising in any of those arenas. One thing I did ask him directly about was Lucas Van Ness, coming on the heels of a question he was answering regarding how to balance what to expect from a young player when you do draft him, thinking long term, especially in the first round, you have a fifth year option, an extra year of control on that contract, versus what you expect when they hit the field right away. And, you know, like I said, point blank, I asked, what is this a big year for Lucas Van Ness? And you know, Brian was pretty diplomatic, as you would expect him to be, but he did end his kind of comments after praising his, you know, Van Ness's professionalism and his work ethic with the statement that they expect a big jump from Lucas Van Ness. And I think that is, you know, to be expected. They absolutely have to start getting some production, more production, off of the 13th overall pick 2 years ago. There's no doubt in my mind that they will be looking at every avenue, whether it's a trade, free agency, the draft, to add to that edge room. You know, this has been the mantra all offseason already, is the need to get home with only four so you can play a ton of different style of coverages on the back end. A big component in that regard is going to be the maturation and development of Lucas Van Ness. And that doesn't mean that they won't go out and maybe sign a Khalil Mack or trade for a Max Crosby, but it has to be in conjunction with Van Ness continuing to come along and to take that big jump. You know, this is a team in the Green Bay Packers that is often, more often than not, drafting in the 20s, in the low 20s a lot of the time. When you have those opportunities and you get a top 15 pick, a 13th overall pick, you got to hit. And so far, I think, not telling tales out of school, when you look at Van Ness and not only his lack of production, but his inability to get on the field in favor of other guys who were not the 13th overall pick. In fact, in some instances, in favor of guys who went undrafted. There's no doubt that the time is now for Van Ness entering 2025. Now, we'll see how the offseason transpires and what that rotation at edge ends up looking like when we get to training camp. But there is no doubt about it. The pressure is on. The red shirt of the past two seasons, essentially, is over. Lucas Van Ness has got to become a player in 2025 for the green and gold. Hope you're all doing well. Good to see everybody. Everybody chiming in. Joey, thank you for the super chat right off the bat. Yes, maybe, or no on Jonathan Allen. I did see the news earlier today seeking a trade out of Washington. I'd be surprised. I think especially given the depth at defensive tackle or defensive line in general in this draft class, I would be somewhat surprised to see Brian give up any kind of assets. And also the Jonathan Allen thing, you got to remember that's the news that I read anyway, was that they have given him permission to seek a trade, which is often a precursor to conversations between the team and the player after the player and the agent go out to the market and let the league kind of tell them where their market is. There's a decent chance that he comes back or just straight out gets cut if he doesn't like what he sees out there and they don't want to pay him more, etc. All that to say, I'd be very surprised if the Packers went that route. Soder, you are not wrong, sir. I'm a broken record. Kick LVN inside on passing downs. It's funny because that's a lot of what we talked about his rookie year coming into that first season, and they really didn't do a whole lot of it. Even though Joe Barry talked about the fact that they were looking at doing just that, at least in certain situations, against certain competition, that never really materialized, and it certainly didn't materialize last season. Where I thought that would make a world of sense on third downs when you kick him inside. They did it very sparingly, but I'm with you. Have him go after some of these guards and get him these, you know, get him shooting gaps on third down and long where it's an obvious passing situation where he's allowed to just kind of pin his ears back and get after the quarterback. I think that would help. No question about it. Ooh, good question, Joe. Goody has 8 picks, over under on how many picks he makes. Well, it'll be 9 picks after the compensatory draft picks are allocated. The Packers are in line to receive a 7th round pick for the loss of Yosh Nijman. But yes, as far as Gutekunst, he was asked today about, I think it was Mike Spofford, who asked him, you know, you have fewer picks than usual. You don't have as many picks as you usually do. And Gutekunst cut him off and said very point blankly, yet. So we'll see how that transpires over the course of the draft and throughout those 3 days. But to your point, I would be surprised if he didn't end up having a pick or two more. And I don't think it's going to be 13 or 14 picks like we've seen a few years here prior, but I would be surprised if he doesn't end up trading down at some point to collect another pick or two. He likes competition. He likes getting it, as much competition in those rooms as possible, even with as young as this football team is. You know, it's something that came up today in conversation about the wide receivers. You know, one way to maybe not cure the drops, but get people focused on not dropping the football is to increase competition in the room. And I would suspect that is going to come through the draft. So, the 8 picks right now sitting here late February, I think he makes probably 1 or 2 more selections than that on draft weekend. Joey, what's going on, man? Passing downs, Gary and Crosby, edge, LVN, Wyatt, defensive tackles. I'm down with this idea. I am all in. Now, you know, there's going to be hopefully a rotation where you've got Clark in there as well, et cetera. But, yeah, man, let's do it. Let's get our own NASCAR 2025 version. You know, look, it doesn't matter what the combination is. It's got to be guys getting after the quarterback, winning their one-on-ones, and able to control the game. And that's something that Brian kind of highlighted a few times today as far as their, you know, explosiveness on offense and some of the really good work they did on defense at times, and certainly really improved stopping the run, but their inability to control the game situationally, that's where they really have to take the next step, so to speak. And a big component of that, it will be able to win those one-on-ones up front on obvious passing downs with 4 guys. Here we go, Michael. This is a very legitimate and fair question. Goody says urgency, but how will it be received if we don't make a big splash in free agency and or trade? Michael, I can tell you on the outside, it probably won't be met very well. I'm sure Packers fans will be maybe not upset, but they'll be frustrated. And I'm sure my chats will be filled with anger. But, you know, the old John Wooden quote jumps to mind, never mistake activity for achievement. And ramping up urgency doesn't automatically mean ripping up the way of doing things. I do think they'll continue to look at making splashes, so to speak, but it's never going to be linear. It's never going to be the same thing. Just because they did something last year doesn't mean they're going to do it this year in regards to signing guys in free agency. But it's about making the team better. And I, you know, have zero doubt that that is going to be their MO all offseason. Now, does that mean they have to pull the trigger on a big trade or else they're not showing urgency? I don't agree, but I'm sure, like to your question, I'm sure the public perception will be very different, and I am ready for it. It should. Packer way isn't working. Well, it depends on what you're talking about. I mean, as far as winning championships, well, since 2010, no, it hasn't. But as far as developing a program and winning a ton of football games, it has. Now, it hasn't led to a championship, but certainly they are in a position to build on what has been a successful regrouping of the roster since they jettisoned their superstar quarterback. In the last 2 years, they've made the playoffs. They've won more games. No, it has not resulted in a Super Bowl trophy, but the idea is to build themselves up to becoming a championship program. And that is what Brian's talking about when he says the level of urgency all throughout the building, not just on the personnel side, but coaching, players, etc. You know, it's time to get back to competing for championships. And I think that is a mindset thing. And I also think, yes, of course, it's about adding talent. But again, just because you're making headlines doesn't mean you're getting better. I think there's a very distinct difference there. Simatovich, that's a good question. Anything you saw today at the combine that was cool today? I don't know about cool, but I saw a lot of folks that I talked to a lot online as far as covering the league and got to see them, a lot of them in person. I just had a nice chat with Matt Harmon, who works for Yahoo, does a lot of the work on wide receivers. If you don't know his stuff, I highly recommend checking it out. He's a really smart guy. Does a lot of really good work around that position group. But that was probably the coolest thing, just seeing people that I haven't seen in a year or so and getting to talk in person rather than exchanging tweets or whatever. To me, that's always one of the best parts about the combine. The other part is what will go on tonight and every night while I'm here this week is hanging out and running into agents and marketing folks and personnel guys and coaches. That's what this week is all about, is reconnecting with people and kind of getting the pulse of where, you know, a player might be at or an organization might be thinking and all those things that are spoken off the record, you know, much of the time late at night. But that's where a lot of the really valuable stuff kind of happens. And that's the cool stuff for me when it comes to the combine. Rob, no, not that I've seen. Any Packer greats there in the house? I mean, there's always a great when Larry McCarron's around, which he was this morning at Goody's availability. But outside of that, no, I can't say that I've seen Packer greats wandering around. Dennis, that's an interesting point. Perhaps Goody is counting on some picks from a Jaire Alexander trade. I would tend to doubt it. I know, you know, we've talked about it here plenty of times. There's no doubt that, you know, Brian is going to talk to Jaire's representatives this week here in Indy. And I do think there's still every, you know, indication that they are going to move on from Jaire. Maybe a, you know, a team reaches out about some kind of trade, but I would tend to doubt it simply because I can't imagine a team would want to take on the last 2 years of Jaire's contract for a player who hasn't played more than seven games the last two seasons, you know, each. I just think that's probably a bit rich for any general manager, though it only takes one. So that's why it's, you know, never say never. Craig, thanks for the super chat, man. With the announcement of the cap going up $25 million and the new media deal probably happening in 2029, do you expect to see Goody / Russ Ball getting creative with the accounting to go out and get a big free agent? Interesting you asked that, Craig, because he was asked almost point blank that question by, I believe it was Bill Huber. And it's always funny to me because, you know, Brian confirmed this today. For us, yes, the announcement of the cap going up $25 million. To us, that was a surprise and a good development, etc. And Brian told us it's exactly how they've been operating as far as where they had expected the cap to be. Russ has already done all that work, and like that was his projection. So it's like they are usually ahead of that kind of thing, and they were already. Last year's jump was unexpected. That was the one kind of big outlier as far as a jump in the cap where it was a bit more than most teams were anticipating. But this year, according to Gutekunst today, like that was how they've been operating with that expectation. Now, all of that said, I did think he had a really interesting point when he said, you know, we've positioned ourselves mainly through because of the work of Russ Ball. We've positioned ourselves where we think we can absolutely field a Super Bowl contending team these next two or three years, even with, you know, the Zach Toms of the world having to get paid, some guys having to get paid next year, et cetera. They feel they can make whatever moves they need to make, whether that is a big trade, taking on a big contract, signing a big free agent deal. They can certainly do all of those things. And it's because they took their medicine for a number of years, whether it was the Bakhtiari dead money, the Rodgers dead money. I mean, lots and lots of dead money from a lot of guys where they kicked the can down the street at the end of the Rodgers era. They're finally in a position where they have all the maneuverability they will ever need to make whatever moves they have to, which is good. That's a healthy spot to be in, no doubt about it. Ken Hansen, how are you, man? I have a sense of urgency, too, for a carry the G. That's what I'm talking about. Speaking of carry the G, be on the lookout for a fun development around the NFL draft in Green Bay when it comes to carry the G. I can say no more. But that's what we call in the industry a tease. Ryan Willie, how are you, man? Thanks for the super chat. Does urgency mean hot seat? I know it does in your world, Ryan. You're ready to fire everybody no matter what happens. You're always ready to say this dude needs to be fired. So to your kind of point of view and way of operating in the Ryan Willie GM world. Yeah, no, that's not how the Packers operate. But I know that's how you would operate. The Packers are going to try and win a championship. And yes, I think there's definitely the sense that you're always kind of competing and working and, you know, trying to keep your job. I mean, I don't doubt for a moment that that is something that drives everybody in the NFL. You know, that is a component of it. Ask Jason Rebrovich about it, who was let go. But no, there's nobody sitting there going, you know, Matt or Brian are on the hot seat if they don't win it all this year. I think that's pretty myopic thinking. But certainly, I think the inflection point of Mark Murphy being out the door and Ed Policy coming in, as there's an opportunity to reset expectations and or how they operate, the power structure, maybe Ed tries to do something else, etc. But that's, you know, outside of the realm of you have to win the Super Bowl or else. I don't think that's how they're going to operate this year. Mattias Lee, thanks for the super chat, man. Fans always complain about the Packers front office. It's not like they are cheap. If the cap was $350 million, it's all into the roster. We are not the Bengals. Well, it's funny you say that about the Bengals because, you know, they're talking today. The headline is they're going to make Ja'Marr Chase the highest paid non-quarterback in league history. What happened to those frugal Bengals, right? But I hear what you're saying. It is, you know, somewhat frustrating when you're talking about the Packers every day like I do and people talk about them being cheap or whatever, and it's like they always pay their own guys. But that doesn't make the same headlines as we've signed this other guy from another team like a Josh Jacobs or a Xavier McKinney, which, of course, were very successful signings, you know, much like Julius Peppers was back in the day or Charles Woodson. So when they wade into those waters, they've done very well. But more often than not, to your point, yeah, they want to invest in their own roster. And I think they've done mostly a good job at that. Now, of course, there are going to be misses at times. I mean, you don't have to look much further than the early returns on Kenny Clark's third deal. They need him to be more productive next year. Or you go back to signing Devondre Campbell to an extension. That certainly was a mistake. But, you know, you're never going to bat 1,000. And more often than not, they make the right calls. And I think Zach Tom is probably the next one they're going to make. Menace, thanks for the super chat, man. Do NFL trades have the same ability like Major League Baseball trades? Team eats more of a contract for a higher pick, like a Major League Baseball team eats more for a better prospect. Eats more of a contract for a higher pick. NFL trades. I mean, because you're talking about the draft. No, not really. I mean, the one kind of area that you're dealing with in that regard, if you're an NFL general manager, is say you jump up in the draft, you take some of those day two picks, let's say, and package them, or maybe a pick next year and jump up in the first round. The slots are there to make it a more expensive contract. You know, those rookie deal slots are pretty set. Now you can have the odd time where guys are quibbling about their bonuses, their guarantees, or what have you. But for the most part, with that the latest NFL CBA, most of those draft slots are set, you know? So you can pretty much know, unless it's a quarterback, which is always kind of the outlier, but, you know, more often than not, you know what you're paying in those slots. So, you know, I'm probably butchering your question, but to the point of because you're talking about picks in the draft, that would be pretty much slotted in. Simatovich, thanks, man. Russ Ball should be in the Ring of Honor, to be honest. Well, let's have him help us win a championship first, and then, yes, probably. I'm all about that. I'm all about that idea. Vin V, thanks for the super chat, man. Expectations seem to be set for LVN this year. Needs a big jump. Needs to be productive. Hell, needs to be on the field. I mean, it's one thing to not produce, and there can be a myriad of reasons for that. But, man, to be out-snapped by a former undrafted free agent, that's not great. That's got to change. He's got to be on the field, and he's got to produce, no doubt. Jocelyn, thank you for the super chat. Valentine and Nixon felt serviceable outside, but too high scheme helped. Hoping quality cornerback starter in free agency, address the front with draft and develop. Jocelyn, I would highly recommend you check out my chat with Matt Schneidman that I put up here on the channel a little while ago. We talked about Goody's availabilities today, and we kind of, you know, talked a bit about this idea where we think what position they think we think they'll address in free agency as opposed to the draft, right? Matt seems to think along your lines that, you know, they will look to a veteran corner in that market. I'm not so sure. I do think edge is probably more likely, or defensive line in general. That's not to say it's impossible, but I do think they would prefer to draft a corner or maybe even two. But to your point, like Valentine and Nixon, I mean, I don't know. I think they were more than serviceable, especially Nixon. Now, Valentine improved as the year went on. He's still a young player. But I do think Nixon surprised a lot of people with his ability on the perimeter. I think there's no question you want to bring in more talent in that room. But I'm not sold that it's going to be a free agent in that regard. Now, I could say all that, and I'll watch him sign somebody on day one, you know. But I do think they'll add bodies to that room, but I suspect it'll be via the draft. That's just my thing, read on it. Ed, thanks for the super chat, man. How envious are other broadcasters that you get to cover the Packers while they are regulated to lesser teams? Ed, you know, you joke, but I was talking to a dear old friend, Caitlin Sharkey, who used to cover the Packers, grew up a Packers fan, but now lives in Chicago and covers the Bears. And she legit said, like, her first year covering the Bears, she thought, what are you all doing here? Like, what do you mean you don't know who's starting a quarterback? What are you talking about in regards to the roster, et cetera? Like, and now she was joking today about Ben Johnson being here, and this is like the third coach hire that she's covered since moving, right? And I was, you know, laughing with her and saying, like, oftentimes a lot of the 20-somethings online get upset when I talk about it, but entitled town is a real thing, you know? And people in the media, they understand, you know, how, you know, fun these gigs can be, but like, man, you're covering a team like the Packers. It's one of the gold standard teams. There's no doubt about that. And you just got to look around the league and a lot of the turnover and how other teams operate to really kind of have that thrown into relief for you. Menace, thanks again, man. Like, if we traded Jair and said, hey, we will eat 50% of his contract for a second rounder, or you take the whole contract and we get a seventh, can Goody do that? Yes, Menace. Thank you for the clarification. Absolutely. In fact, that's happened a few times in recent NFL vintage. Oftentimes, it's, you know, it's been for players that probably not as talented as Jair, but yes, they can kind of massage the contract to the point where we'll do XYZ to take on whatever amount for, you know, that pick. That those are conversations that certainly can be had. Now, again, I think it's highly unlikely a team wants to give up a draft pick for Jair, but we'll see. We shall see. Like you say, maybe if the Packers can make it tenable for them, maybe they're more, you know, ready to pull the trigger, so to speak. Hey, Craig, thanks for the super chat. Carry the G, the official beer of the NFL. Maybe someday. It's funny. I was talking to Corey about this today. It's going to be really weird being at Lambeau Field where they literally have a sign, the Miller Lite Gate, and see Bud Light everywhere because the NFL produces the draft and Bud Light is the official partner for the NFL. Bud Light's going to be everywhere around Lambeau, which is just going to feel weird. But we did kind of joke about setting up a shop outside of Corey's backyard and, you know, selling Carry the G like a bake sale. How fun would that be? Like, have people dumping out their Bud Lights and buying Carry the G? Let's go. I'm in on this. Joe, what's going on, man? Thanks so much for the super chat. Would bringing touchbacks out to the 35 change much? I know it's something they're talking about. I think it would change very little, honestly. I think at some point, yeah, they have to me, it's not so much bringing the touchbacks back, but they have to move the kicker back. These guys have such monster legs now. Make it harder for them to just boot it into the end zone or out of the end zone every single freaking time. And I think that's what Belichick talked about at the start of last year when it was very clear that teams were fine letting them come out to the 30. I think you got to move the kickoff back along with letting having the touchback go out further. I just think they'll continue to talk about it, and it's something that we'll probably hear a lot more about in the league meetings in a couple weeks, but it's definitely on the table. That's for sure. Spike, thanks for the super chat, man. Hey, Aaron, do you have any teams, items on your off-season wish list? I did. I wanted Osa from the Cowboys. Odighizuwa. But it was reported that the Cowboys are talking to him about a long-term extension. And as Andy Herman rightfully pointed out, I doomed it because the moment I put it out there, the football gods were going to make sure that, you know, it would never happen. He would never go to Green Bay. So I want Ojulari from the Giants. That's my new offseason wish list. We'll see. We shall see. All right, buddy. I have to get going. I cannot thank you enough. Hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video. Subscribe to the channel. And then tell your friends and tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.